A song for the Sabbath day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord, how profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass, and all the evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." Amen.
Psalm begins today with a straightforward statement. It is good to praise the Lord. The psalmist is a realist. As we'll see later in the psalm, he's quite well aware that life is complex and can often be difficult. But nevertheless, he says without qualification or hesitation, it is good to praise the Lord. The old commentator Matthew Henry says this: praising God is good work. It is good in itself, and it is good for us. It is our duty, the rent, the tribute we are to pay to the great Lord. We are unjust if we withhold it. It is our privilege that we are admitted to praise God and have hope to be accepted in it. It is good, for it is pleasant and profitable. It is the work of angels, the work of heaven. Praise the Lord. How does our psalm tell us that we do that? Well, firstly, with music. It's good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. This has always been a church that has liked its music. It's what my father back in the day would have described as a well-sung kirk. And isn't there something really special about meeting together to sing praise? Whether we sing the old traditional hymns of the church or modern songs, however we are feeling, singing praise to the Lord together is really good. It cannot help but lift our spirits. Apparently, there have been studies done that tell us that singing, particularly group singing, is good for you and improves your health and well-being. And when I see studies like that, I want to say you don't need to waste your money on studies. Just come to church, sing praises to God, and you'll find that out. We are to sing to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp, says the psalmist. And those were the instruments that they had when the psalm was written. We have neither a lyre nor a harp, but we have a piano, a saxophone, a bass guitar, and sometimes we have a violin and a double bass, or occasionally a trumpet. And that works for us. We praise God with music. Secondly, we're to praise God by proclaiming who he is, by praising his character. We know that God is holy and righteous. We know that he's majestic and glorious. We know that he's great. But here we see that we are to proclaim who he is in our lives. We are to proclaim his love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. Another psalm, Psalm 89, says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. And in the songs that we sing week after week, we sing of God's love and faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Faithful one, great is thy faithfulness. Many of our songs of praise are on this theme. But I think there's something really special about proclaiming God's love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. And I've been wondering as I've been preparing this, if that is a habit, a pattern that it would be good for us to adopt. In the morning, at the start of the day, we think about the whole day ahead of us, what we will do, who we will speak to. And we acknowledge that all of that is held within God's love for us. That whatever happens in our day, we will remain in the center of his love. So we can picture the things that we've planned for the day. And maybe we pray briefly that in each of them we will know and experience God's love for us, and that God's love would be shown through us to others. And then at night, as we look back on the day that we've lived, we can see that he has been faithful at every moment, and we can thank him for that steadfast faithfulness in every situation. We all have our own patterns of prayer, but maybe this would be a good habit to develop, consciously and deliberately proclaiming God's love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. So we praise God with music. We praise him for who he is. And thirdly, we praise him for what he has done. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. So what are we singing for joy at? What are God's deeds? What is the work of his hands? Well, the first thing we think about, of course, is creation. We thought a couple of weeks ago in our all-age time about the greatness of what God has created and what that tells us about him. We thought about space, about how the best telescopes can see between 100 and 200 billion galaxies. And that there are many, maybe 10 times as many as that. The hugeness of what God has created. We thought about a tiny frog that would sit on the tip of your finger, about the ants that work together in communities, and of the incredible detail with which God has created the tiniest creatures. Think about the variety of creation. Sometimes I wonder why we need such variety. Why are there 50,000 known different species of spiders, with maybe another 50,000 still undiscovered? I don't actually mind spiders as long as they're not too big. But why do we have 100,000 different ones? Why so many different animals, insects, birds, plants? Because God is a God of abundance, a God of overflowing generosity. He has created an amazingly beautiful world and has given it to us to enjoy. And if you're wondering where it's Maligne Lake in the Canadian Rockies, one of the most beautiful places, I think, that I've ever been. Whenever we look at the created world, whether we go down to the beach at Broughty Ferry, or as Gail and I like to do over to Morton Lochs at Tayport, or whether we travel abroad to beaches, lakes, mountains and rivers, we look at the world God has created and we are glad. We sing for joy at the work of his hands. O Lord, our Lord, says the psalmist, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So we sing for joy because of his creation, and we are a really important part of that creation. The psalmist says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him? Human beings that you care for them. You made them a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned them with glory and honor. Is that not truly amazing? That when we think of how enormous God is, of how vast his creation, so vast that we cannot even imagine it, that he would love us and care for us. God looked at all he had created and said it was good. When he created us, he said it was very good. I sing for joy at the work of your hands, the work of God's hands in creation, and the work of God's hands in our lives, in saving us, in sending his Son to die in our place, in filling us with his Holy Spirit, in guiding us and caring for us and blessing us as our Father. We sing for joy because of his love and faithfulness towards us. And we sing for joy, maybe especially, because he has saved us. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. God's work in creation, God's work in saving and blessing us. But there is also in this psalm a third aspect to the works of the Lord, and it relates to his justice. Listen again to these verses. The senseless man does not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. Here is the acknowledgement of God as the righteous judge, the certainty that the wicked will inescapably face judgment at some point under his divine rule. Evildoers may flourish now, but they will be forever destroyed. Here surely is another reason to praise God. We look around the world and see evil. We think of the past century, of Hitler and Stalin, Idi Amin and Pol Pot, and so many other tyrants and dictators, and so many evil people who did their bidding. Today we see Kim Jong-un in North Korea, Bashar al-Assad in Syria, Lukashenko in Belarus, the Taliban in Afghanistan, and of course Putin in Russia. We see mercenaries, terrorists, men of violence and brutality, and we long to see justice, to see the evildoers brought down and punished, and the oppressed set free. But the psalmist is quite clear that justice and judgment are certain, that though the wicked may inflict untold pain today and tomorrow and for some years to come, ultimately their absolute demise and judgment at the hand of a righteous God is certain. And in that we can rejoice. But I think as we see the suffering in the world, we inevitably still have questions for God. Questions that we find he doesn't give an answer to. I want to read you a passage from one of my commentaries. It says this: here is the simple side of seeing things from the divine perspective. All who practice injustice shall face the judgment of a just God. The more difficult side of this equation is when. Why should God's judgment be ultimate and not now? Why are dictators left to reign for so long? Here is the imponderable question. It is the how long question of so many of the Psalms of Lament. The answer may not always satisfy us, but it is only right to ask the question. Injustice is always something that the church should lament, but it laments with a degree of hope, because we rest in the sure knowledge that justice will be worked out, if not in our present experience, in God's good time. The wicked will be brought low, but, says the psalmist, you, O Lord, are exalted forever. Whatever exaltation oppressors may enjoy in this world, it is brief and ultimately empty. But Almighty God will always be praised because of his justice, because of his love and faithfulness and saving power in our lives, and because of his creation. In every generation, there are those who exalt themselves and demand praise because of their great power and influence. History teaches us that tyrants, tycoons, and superstars are no more than a blip in the history of time. But the eternal Creator is praised forever, because he is forever good and he is forever king. Such is the fate of the evildoer. But for the people of God, there is a very different future. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." Here is a picture of the growth, the fruitfulness, and the permanence of the people of God, planted in the house of God, remaining close to him. We live life under his blessing, protection, and care, and experience the fullness of existence that springs only from communion with God. Cedars of Lebanon can apparently produce seed-bearing cones even at the age of 3,000 years. Like them, if we stay close to God, we can still produce fruit in old age. And is that not immensely encouraging for many of us? We continue to praise God. We praise him for his love and faithfulness, for all he has done, for the works of his hands. We praise him because he is our rock, our place of safety, the one who is unshakable and in whom we find strength, the God of holiness, the one who rules with justice and righteousness forever, the one to whom we say, "Wow, thanks, help." Amen. Let's stand together and praise God again.